grateful and thankful for the opportunity again before us to study these things. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us as we continue to learn and apply, and resulting in our spiritual growth and fulfillment of the high calling we have in Christ, for we ask in His name, amen. All right, I want to define these two again so that you understand the difference, especially for the benefit of those of you that weren't here on Thursday, or those of you that forgot as much as you could about English grammar by the time you graduated high school. This, incidentally, is probably about fourth grade grammar, but you should know the difference between the active and the passive voice. In the active voice, the subject produces the action of the verb, as in the case of Jack threw the ball. Jack is the subject, the object is ball, the action is being performed upon the ball, but it's being done by Jack. So the actor in this case is Jack. And in English, we have to really structuralize it, whereas in Greek you don't, because the spelling of the Greek language determines whether it's active or passive. But it's the structure in English that determines whether it's active or passive. Generally, in the active voice, the subject precedes the verb, and then the action and that which is performed is subsequent. In other words, it's in the last part of the sentence. In the case, Jack threw the ball. Jack is the thrower. The ball is, of course, being thrown. Now, when you change it to the passive voice, the object then becomes the subject, but it's being acted upon, as in, the ball was thrown by Jack. You see the difference? Now the subject is, in fact, the ball, but Jack is still performing the action, but now the action is being performed on the subject. So that's passive. English does not have a middle voice. The Greek language, just to give you this as a lesson, in the Greek language you have the middle voice, because often the middle voice is not only reflexive, but it's the actor performing the action upon himself. And generally it can be either beneficial or non-beneficial. There are some Greek words that do not appear in their dictionary form other than in the middle voice. You see, the dictionary form is the way you would begin your particular paradigm in your normal declension or in the case of conjugations. So the fact of the matter is, the middle voice is in between. It's kind of active and it's kind of passive. Some feel it's more passive than it is active. I just kind of opt and say it's in the middle, exactly where the Greeks implied it, and it's generally performed on oneself. Prosefkomai is a Greek verb, and it means I pray. Now, if it was in the active voice, that would simply mean I pray, but it's not in the active voice. The dictionary form is in the middle voice. And so I pray, but I pray for my benefit. It reflects back to benefit me, so somehow it's coming back to me and acting upon me. I bathe is the same dictionary passive voice, rather middle voice view. So we're interested primarily in English and in the active and passive voices in relationships. Now there are two categories of active living. One is called active virtue. This is where the subject produces the action of virtue by virtue of the fact that they have that virtue. In other words, they have reached a place where they've learned how to produce not only impersonal love, but virtue love. And remember, this is the highest place that a marriage can get. The highest achievement in any relationship is when the husband and the wife have outgrown, obviously, the attraction stage, and that takes time. That should be taken care of during courtship. Then it moves into the compatibility stage, where they begin to find out what each other likes or dislikes. And then from there, a very deep, centered love results, where the two are not only compatible with each other, But they have learned over the years how to compromise with regard to things that may have annoyed them earlier when they were younger. And that's not to say that they still don't snap at each other. Occasionally, my wife will say something to me in a snappy manner, and I just snap right back. But it doesn't last. It lasts maybe about 5 minutes, and then we go on as if nothing happened. Whereas years ago, we used to sit around and sulk and throw water at each other and all kinds of things, and insults, and tear telephones out of walls, and break glass in storm doors, yours truly. I never did push my fist through the bathroom door. You know, of course, that you know you have achieved in your progression of finances when you rent a motel and the bathroom door doesn't have a hole in it. That's where she locked herself in, and he's pounding on her. Generally, they're hardcore. Some of you look at me like, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Come on. Give me this look. When we're young, we're stupid. Some of you are young. And brighter than some. Active virtue. Then there's active arrogance, where the subject produces the action of the verb. Then the area of passive living, and again, there's passive virtue and passive arrogance. Passive arrogance is a strange one. The person that has it, generally, they're not actively arrogant, they're passively arrogant. And it's kind of a pseudo-humility thing. They're quiet, and they go creeping around, or slithering around. We've had a few of them here. We still have a few. We've got at least two here tonight. Where you walk around, you know, you're real humble. You've eaten your humble pie before you got here. But inside, you're harboring all kinds of mental attitude sins. And you're responding to people in a rather, you know, sheepish kind of way. But you're arrogant as hell. But needless to say, we'll study that as we get to it. Now, you can analyze yourself, unless I just stare at you during the entire service. Then you will know that it's obvious that I, in fact, will be talking about y'all. Incidentally, I should have mentioned this earlier in the announcements. We're going to be stopping for a while in Amarillo, Texas. We were looking up in the directory, and there's a guy who obviously has a Greek name. And I called him recently, and, well, he's half Greek, so we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He doesn't know much about his heritage, but I'll fill him in when we get together. It's one of the good things about having that directory, why you find out who should stay in it and who should come out of it very quickly. But sounds good so far, so we're going to get together and just kind of jaw for a while, have a late breakfast, and go from there. Say, where do you expect to get the first night? Well, we think we want to get to Tucumcari. Now, he said it's only 9 hours for Amarillo to Flagstaff. Is he right with the new speed limit? And the way I drive, it should take about 12. You don't really believe that, do you? When I'm on the open road, 40 to me is the Autobahn. And that camera usually does about, I don't know, 112 idling. So point two then, here are the two categories of active living, active virtue and active arrogance. The two categories of passive living, likewise, passive virtue and passive arrogance. Obviously, in passive virtue, we're going to see that this is a responsive view. And generally, you'll find that women fall into this category. By being passive, by being submissive, by being reflexive, they simply reflect what they are and how they are being treated. So guys, if you don't like the way your wife is acting, it might be because of the way you're acting, and she's just responding to you. Then again, she might suffer from active arrogance, and we'll put her in that category as well later. We're going to cover both the male and the female, so no one is going to be without divine discipline. All right. Point three, active virtue means following the divine rules related to life and marriage. Now, this is very important because I don't know of any marriage when it begins where they begin with the idea that they're going to ruin the marriage or that somehow it isn't going to work. But many do not want to follow the divine outline for a successful marriage, and they subsequently ruin the marriage. And then they wonder why God let them down. God didn't let them down. You just didn't follow the rules. And there are specific rules for the preservation of a marriage. We've already alluded to some of them. One, the husband must love his wife the same as Christ loved the church. Now that means you have to develop that type of love through maximum doctrine in your soul. And you don't treat her like some piece of dirt. You don't take advantage of her. You don't impose your will upon hers. You know, a woman is a strange person. She's a human being, contrary to most males' opinion. And she doesn't lose her will necessarily when she marries. She may voluntarily give it up. That we will see is a part of her virtue. And in effect, when I've counseled young people, which was wasteful, I've told them that when they marry, that the woman in the relationship should be willing to give up her will so that her will would be the will of her husband's. And they kind of look at you and they go, yeah, okay. And then after they get married, forget it. She's mouthing off and screaming and yelling like a banshee and letting him know exactly what she thinks. And who really gives a damn, Scarlett? But in any event, you see, they don't follow the divine rules, and then the marriage falls apart, and then they say, it's not working. It isn't that it's not working. You're not working. If you drop a fine timepiece on the ground and then step on it, and it quits working, don't say it quit. Say you destroyed it. Okay? I get a kick out of people that swim with their watches on, and they say, well, it's waterproof. You know, it takes a licking and keeps on ticking, that kind of thing. Well, that's what a good marriage is. It's a Timex. Some of you have Pierre Cardin tastes with a Timex pocketbook. Oh, well. And you bring that into your marriage. You know, by the way, if your husband is unable to make more than he's making, don't go out and spend it as fast as he makes it, ladies. I've known of cases where men actually had two jobs and their wife bitched because when he came home, he wouldn't do anything around the house. Where does it say he's supposed to do anything around the house? Would somebody explain that to me? Some of you women say, well, he never cleans. What? What? Where does it say he has to? Well, I need help. Then help him with his work. Oh, I can't do that. Well, neither can he. And he's not required to. Don't you impose things that you should be doing upon him because you don't have enough time. You're sitting there watching TV eating chocolates. And you're trying to live your marriage in a soap opera capacity. That's the most sickening things I've ever seen on television. I'd rather watch some nude thing, and I hate those. But those other things are disgusting. That isn't what life is all about. You want to read exciting stories? Read your Bible. You want a little X rating? David and Bathsheba. You want incest and cave dwellers? Lot and his two daughters. Okay? You want murder and intrigue? David again. And many others in Scripture. Saul's a famous one. You want action and excitement? David and Goliath. You want Steven Spielberg or one of those horror things? Read the Revelation. That'll terrify you every time. I remember one night I was studying the Revelation. I used to do my studying real late because my three daughters used to keep me preoccupied by running around making noise. And so I did most of my studying in the wee hours of the morning. And I remember one night I was in one room and I was studying the Revelation, and it was kind of getting to me, you know. I mean, it gets, and it's dark, you know, I'm looking around and I've got beasts crawling around and so on. And I was walking down the hall to go to the bathroom because I didn't want to wake my wife, and I had this Bible in my hand. It's not a small Bible. I've had this for 90 years. And I was walking along, and I was kind of looking at, you know, the Daniel references and the Revelation. And my daughter Pam came out of her room, and she went, "Dad," and I went, "Bam," and just drove her right into the ground. I mean, she could have said it in another way, you know. Just blasted that poor kid and knocked her down. And on another occasion, I remember, this is what you do when you're tired, too. I was dreaming that somebody was attacking my wife, and I lunged over the bed, and I just beat the hell out of the lamp. I mean, just drove it into the ground. My kids probably knew that, because when they used to wake me up after my nap, they'd come into the room, and they'd all kind of line up, and they'd touch me like this, and they'd say, "Dad, get up." They'd start running because they knew I'd get up and start swinging. Now I don't do that anymore. Just too old for that. I just roll out of bed and fall to the ground. But there are rules that determine a healthy marriage. And God's Word has every rule and requirement for success. Some of you don't have a clue, by the way. You don't have a clue. And I'm going to give you the clues. By the time we get through this study, you're either going to have a successful marriage or you're going to leave the church. That's what it's going to boil down to. Because you'll say, "I can't live by those standards. And I'm going to keep teaching them and looking at you every time I do." All right, there are three divine basic rules in marriage that are designed to produce virtue in that marriage. And it's rather simple, all of which are found in two prison epistles. The first, husbands, love your wives. Now that's a very interesting statement of Scripture. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Why do you say it's an interesting concept? Because nowhere in Scripture is the wife ever commanded to love her husband. Isn't that interesting? Nowhere. Now, the older women are supposed to teach the younger women how to love their husbands. So apparently, they're supposed to love their husbands. But she is never commanded to do so. Whereas the husband is commanded to love his wife. You know why? Because a wife that isn't being loved cannot love reciprocally. That's simple enough. If she's abused, she's going to abuse. If she's despised, she'll be bitter. If the husband is unfaithful, she'll be jealous. It's invariable. She reflects what he is. So the old adage, behind every good man is a good woman, is wrong. Behind every good woman is a virtuous husband. So if you know women and you say to yourself, "Man, they're virtuous and lovely and just pleasant to be around," so on, it's because the husband is aggressive in that relationship and she's responding to his love. And you don't show it in public. You know, all that, you've seen that, haven't you? That's a cover-up. They're covering something up. Now, there's a cat box under there somewhere. See, all that public stuff is this. Okay? You ever watch cats? And then they kind of go like that. Very clean little creatures. Secondly, wives, hold on, ladies, ipotasso, your husbands. The word is translated obey. E-P-O, this, by the way, is a long E, not an O. Then a T-A-S-S-O. Epo is a preposition, and it means under. There are two words that sound very similar, and they are transliterated into English, and generally they're abused. One is epo, and the other is hipo. Okay? Or hyper. So we say of a person, they're suffering from hypothermia. What is that saying? Has the body temperature gone up or down? Down. Hyperthermia. Up. Hyper is from the Greek preposition meaning up. Hypo is from the Greek preposition meaning under. For instance, hypoderma. Help me, somebody. Under the skin. Transliterated, hypodermic. See? And where does the hypodermic needle go? Not above the skin, it goes under it. Now, so the first one is under. Guess what that word means? Subjection. Or under orders. So under subjection. Wives, be subject to your own husbands. And the word own is from idios, meaning idiot. No, it does not mean idiot. It's from idios, which means the countertype that is the same as, not in the same as homo. That's different. That means same of the same quality. But in right man, right woman quality. See, a woman can only respond to a right man. She can't respond to the wrong man. And she'll not obey the wrong man. She can only obey the right man. So you see, ladies, you should have determined long ago whether this was the right man for you. And the first question you ask yourself is, can I subordinate myself to this man in everything? And if it's, 50-50, forget that. Dump him. Get somebody else. Now you're saying, well, that's the way we got married. It's too late now. Put this in your notes. Stuck with it. Husband, wife. Can't change. I give no one an excuse to get a divorce. And this doctrine is not how to get rid of your husband, but rather how to make an unsuccessful marriage successful. I should add this, by the way. And this is just an inner thought that's now coming out. This study was designed primarily for the couples that were having problems. And I found that all of those that are having problems quit coming as soon as I started the study. Isn't that the way it is? Now, some of you already had your problems, and now you want to know why. And I'll tell you. Some of you are going to have problems, but you're not, because you're going to know ahead of time what to do. And the rest of you, you've already learned what the principles are, and so you're just having a phenomenal time. And all this is doing is reinforcing it. That's fine. But I can see empty places, and I have visions of people that belong there. You know, they're little shadowy figures. But they're not here. They quit coming as soon as I started it. But that's the way it always is. We've had people leave this church for reasons that they thought were important. And within a week after they left, I began a series on that particular subject. They just waited around long enough. I could have got my licks in, but instead they bailed out. Hey, if you're going to leave here, know why you're leaving. Just don't go, oh, I'm getting leaving. Find yourself wandering on 43rd Avenue, and somebody says, don't you go to West Side anymore? No. Why not? Dribbling and drooling and fluids coming out of your apertures and so on. Secondly, wives, obey your husbands. Colossians 3:18. You say, but you see, PT, you're not living in the 90s. You're in the first century, and things have changed. Oh, really? God has really changed. You see, he made a mistake when he wrote this. He didn't take into consideration the 90s. He didn't realize that women were going to run around trying to act like men, lowering themselves, degrading themselves, defeminizing themselves, wearing Levi's, men's Levi's. They look hideous in them. I don't even wear a men's Levi's. Can't keep those on either. You see, you have to have hips, okay, to keep pants on. And I have to cinch my tie, my belt up so tight. And the other day I went into a grocery store and I didn't have a belt on. I was carrying groceries out. And I thought any minute I could feel them, boy, they were going down. And now here I am. I'm going like this. So finally I figured out what I ought to do is lower the bags and pull my pants up that way, and it worked. But occasionally I'll be walking around the house and all of a sudden, down they go. You have to have hips. I don't have them. So that's why I never joined the hippie movement. I joined the non-hippie movement. And the last concept is found in Ephesians 4:32. Think about what you would put here. Don't say it out loud. Just think. What would be the third most important thing? Let's look at it again. Husbands, love your wives. Right? Wives, obey your husbands. Husbands and wives, forgive one another as Christ forgave us. Have a forgiving spirit. You ever heard of the statement? Quote, I will never forgive that man as long as he is alive. Oh, that is loaded with grace. Just permeated with grace concepts. So you're going to go to heaven and God's going to say, oops, I forgot to tell you. I will never forgive you for that sin that you committed. Like a fire for you. And you jump up and down and make all kinds of sounds about how unfair God was. Well, what's wrong with a husband and wife forgiving each other? What could they ever do, by the way, that is unforgiving? All right, I'll tell you what it is. Whatever God could not forgive. You say, but God can forgive everything. Everything. You say, could a wife actually forgive her husband for adultery? Certainly. The big question is not if she can, but would she? Now, am I saying to you guys, there you go, guys. She's going to forgive you. Have a good time. No, because you're going to destroy your soul in the meantime. So you'll be a forgiven, destructive soul. Don't take advantage of that forgiveness concept. Cases where men have been unfaithful, women have been unfaithful, and their husbands, wives, were willing to forgive them. Okay. That simply meets the qualification of the third important factor or rule of marriage. And everything that we're going to teach will revolve around these three rules. Now look at them again. Husbands, love your wives. General failure in marriage. Right? The husband doesn't treat his wife as Christ treats the church. He abuses her. He belittles her. Does our Lord belittle us? Does he say, you're a nothing? I've known men that actually call their wives the lowest thing in that's second to the dog. Now, I love my dog and I love my wife in that order. I've got a sign, which is a joke, but I'm sure that some people think about that. My wife said she'd leave me if I go fishing again. Boy, I'm sure going to miss her. Okay? My wife threatened to leave me after I injured my ankle about playing softball. Well, I didn't quit because she threatened to leave me. It helped. But I came to my senses. What man at 50 years old continues to play softball with kids and tries to compete with them? I noticed some of you guys bailed out much earlier. Hey, smart. Clucky me, I'm out there at 50. Of course, I think I did a good job, but the guys never let me forget that I was 50 either. Hustle. What? This is it. You gets what you gets. But see, if you forget that, mister, don't expect great things out of your marriage. It's going to fall apart. And there isn't a woman alive that will not respond to a man that loves her. No one will turn away from love. No one. But anyone will turn away from abuse and misuse, and that domineering, you know, me Tarzan, you cheetah type. Forget Jane. The wife is not an animal. And by the way, she's not your slave either. You know, barking orders of her. This, I need that, I need this, I need that. Good wife, you know what she'll say to him? Hey, you got legs. That'll annoy him. But he's just as annoying. Don't you see? She's responding to that. That's what she's designed to do. It's the way God made her. Secondly, wives, obey your husbands. In obeying your husband, that means obey him. By the way, in what? Everything. That's what it says, everything. You say, even when he's unreasonable? Sure. Well, I can't do that. Well, then you're not obeying the divine mandate. You're not following the divine rule. The divine rule says, wives, be subject to your husbands in everything. I didn't write it. Now, why did God say that? He'll protect you if you're being abused. Just sit back and watch the sparks fly. But see, we'd rather open our mouths. We'd rather respond in a negative manner. And that's incorrect. Some of you women, I know you are, you're mouthy. And you tell your husbands off. You're the one that's suffering. You're the one that's suffering. He's not. So you got your 2 cents in. That's all it's worth. They took Penny at Metro Center and they dropped it on the ground and they photographed people walking past it. People actually kicked it out of the way. So then they put down a nickel. Same thing. They put down a dime. A few people stopped and picked it up. They took a quarter and they glued it to the floor. Almost everybody that saw it went for it. A 50-cent piece, there was a mob. Everyone, people from the other side would walk over to pick it up. Silver dollar, you could just imagine. There'd be a mass riot at Metro Center, provided it wasn't a Susan B. Anthony. I'd step on it and keep going. You say, Susan B. Anthony, wasn't she the... Yes. It's one of the four daughters of this stupid, silly freedom movement for women. There's nothing free about it. All it succeeded in doing is lowering their femininity and making them other than what God designed them to be. What does the Word of God say about a woman? He who finds a virtuous woman finds a gem. That should be the translation, a gem. In fact, there's even a question asked in Proverbs, who can find a virtuous woman? And then he goes on and says, she is like. And by the way, ladies, don't try to meet all the qualification of that passage. You'll die. Those are token expressions. Now, you can aim for them. Just don't look at them and say, you got to be kidding. You know, she works at the distaff. Her light does not go out at night. She makes clothes for her children. Her husband is praised at the gates because of her. She goes out and buys a field. She plants this. She goes abroad. She brings back delicacies from all over the world. Come on. You don't have time for that in 1996. Just keep your house clean. Okay? And that means looking under the sofa, trying to find those dust balls that are under there. Don't blame them on the cat. And under the bed as well. Because they'll come out at the strangest times. You'll have company all of a sudden. This thing, and that includes the cobwebs that have been hanging from a certain part of your living room since the day one. Now you see, if you invite one of my daughters to your house, she'll clean your whole house. I won't tell you who it is. Especially if your bathroom is dirty. With her, a dirty bathroom is intolerable. She carries a little toothbrush around with her. That's not for her teeth. It's for your dirty bathrooms. She'll get in there. With the door locked, of course. She has a little lime away. Got the little belt she wears. And she'll make sure that before she leaves, it's nice. Give it a pleasant, flowery smell. She was raised that way. You know, there's one thing about being poor, and there's another thing about being a slob. Filthy. There's no excuse for filth. And listen, what man is going to stay around a filthy home when he's working in a spotless office? He's not going to want to come home to that. Can I give you ladies a clue? Guys, don't listen to this. Ladies, you want a clue? If you're not working other than at home, when he walks in that door, your whole day should have been designed for his walking through that door. And that means the way you look. He doesn't want to see you the way he left you in the morning. And you know those tin cans hanging from your head? Same robe you had on, and those flip-flops that you were wearing. Who is he being around all day if he works in an office? Spotless, well-kept secretaries. And he walks into the house and he sees El Slobo. It's not going to last. You're pushing him out the door. All right, guys, you can listen again. Now, if you heard this, guys, you are not supposed to. It's like television for women. You're not supposed to watch it. But I must confess, I sneak a look myself. Can anybody define that for me? What does that mean, television for women? What is that? Wives, obey your husbands in everything. I didn't write it. Take it up with the author. And then husbands and wives, be forgiving one to the other. Now, if it ended there, it's different. Because then it would be relative forgiveness. Based on what? So Paul says, even as Christ forgave us. Oh, does that nail it? We should have the same attitude toward each other as we would in the expectation of his having forgiven us everything. Remember, God does not keep books for believers regarding sin. He forgave us that. Never again will it be brought up. But you know, some of you ladies have memories that are absolutely phenomenal. You've got it recorded in your mental diary. On such and such a day, at such and such an hour, you can even pinpoint the place and whether there was a bug crawling along the ground that he said or did something. But then some of you guys have good memories. Learn to have short memories. Short memories with regard to forgiveness. You know why? You won't bring it up again. You can always tell what they've remembered and harbored when they have an argument. Right, here it comes. The scrolls. Right? And then on this day you did this, and you did that, and the whole bit. You know it's gotten out of hand. She's in emotional revolt. Get out of the room. Go to a movie. Unless you're a legalist. Go to a film. Point four. In active virtue, the believer applies doctrine to his own spiritual life, solves his own problems, and overcomes his own failures. Now, you say, why is this important? Because there are people that are constantly living off others. You know what they call a creature that lives off another? A leech. A leech attaches itself and sucks the blood of its victim. A tick. Those are people that want counseling. They've got a tick brain. A leech mentality. See, they want to come and stand next to you, and then they ask you a question, they will go, and attach themselves to you. That doesn't help you. What does spiritually self-sustaining mean? Here it is. Solve your own problems. Apply doctrine in your own life. And overcome your failures. The first thing you have to do with failures, isn't it obvious? What's the first thing you have to do with a failure? Before you can even resolve it. Recognize that you have it. An admission on your part. It's a failure. You know how arrogant people refuse to do that? They don't want to go any further. Oh, it's not my failure. It's somebody else's failure. It's his fault. It's our fault. It's fault. Car's fault. Cat's fault. No. It's your problem. See, that's the adult way of looking at life. I noticed some of you were really wrapped up in yourselves when you first started coming to Westside. Really were. Just wrapped up. You were the center of your life. And now all of a sudden you found, I'm not that important. And you've learned to laugh at yourself when you do those stupid things that you admit are now stupid. Before you thought it was intelligence. And it was profound. No, it's not profound. It's el stupido. And when you can look in the mirror and say, you idiot. You don't want anybody else to tell you that. But you have to be able to tell yourself that. And that's an admission of reality. instead of, whoa, how did the world do without you? See, the sun does not come up and set on your behind. There's another expression, but that's loosely translated. So what is an active, virtuous individual? An individual has learned through the application of doctrine to his own spiritual life, solve his problems, overcome his own failures. So what does it involve in 6 points? Very quickly. Consistent, key phrase, consistent application and previous intake of God's Word. See, that's what's the matter with many at Westside. They're not consistent. They're sporadic. They come in, bounce in for a while, sit here, get all hyped up, and they leave for a couple of weeks. And they come bouncing in again, they get all hyped up, and leave for a couple of weeks. No, you can't live that way. You can't survive that way. And by the way, if you're a prep school teacher, you won't teach that way either. I'll make sure of that. I watch to see how many of our prep school teachers are consistent in their attendance. You don't show up for a period of time, you're out. And I don't care what office you hold, you're out. I don't want you 6 months behind in your spiritual advance and teaching stuff that may be old. There's updates all the time, improvements. See, some of your doctrines are Model T mentality. You've got to get into the upper, something space age. What is it? Cyber, that's it. See, some of you are still thinking XT mentality. Your mind runs at 4.77 megahertz. When I get to Iowa, get this. Yeah, can you remember that? XTs, 4.77. Boy, that was fast in comparison to the Commodores. When I get to Iowa, Larry's just gotten a new motherboard, a 586 at almost 200 megahertz. He wants me to install it for him, so I'd be glad to do it. 200 megahertz. Do you know what that means? That's flying, folks. You can't even blink fast enough. And the program's up and gone. Somebody's still running what? 133s? 100 megahertz? That's fast. Imagine almost 200. That's almost Macintosh speed. Hey, look, there's nothing wrong with a Mac computer. What's wrong with a Mac computer? There's no software for them. That's what's wrong with a Mac computer. There's not one application that I want to use that they have. What good's that? So when I kid about IBM, and they're behind the times. They got a machine that'll outrun anything, that'll out-graphic anything. What good is it if you can't run programs in it? So you know what they did? They programmed the latest ones to run DOS. So you can run DOS applications. Whoopee, if I want to run DOS applications, I'll get an IBM. And you can't make a Macintosh, you can make an IBM. See, Macintoshes are invented and created by Apple. IBMs are created by humans. And besides, it wouldn't keep your heart going well if you had a machine that just did everything you wanted it to do and it worked properly all the time. You've got to have a hang-up here or two. You have to have Windows freeze up on you right in the middle of a program. You know, they should have something built into Windows where a big tongue comes out and it goes, I won't do that. Instead, you get this pretty little message. Windows has decided to shut down. If you wish to proceed, and then it flips you a bird. A little bird comes across the screen. Active virtue, the believer applies what they've learned, and they grow as a result. They don't live off other people. Human beings are not their crutches. The Word of God is. See, listen carefully. Listen to this verse and remember it. Cursed is the man that trusts in man, but blessed is the man that puts his trust in the Lord. That's exactly what I'm saying. Now, Father, thank you for the time that we spent together. Thank you for the challenge of this evening. Thank you for your word and your grace and your mercy. Dismiss us now, we ask, in Christ's name, amen. Now, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. You'll be well taken care of.